Hello and welcome to Not a Safe Space. This is Sabrina.
And Tabby. Hey. Did you practice that intro?
No.
Did you practice?
I did not, I promise. But what I did do this morning was go back and listen to old podcasts. And guess what? I did not get it right back then either. And you literally yelled at me. You were like, you have one job. You have one intro, one job. And you screwed this up.
Yep.
Hashtag nailed that one. So at least I got it right.
Good job.
Welcome back.
Yay! Hey guys, we're so excited!
I can't believe it's been almost 2 years. I think we all kind of needed the space, but truthfully, my therapist said you have to get back into it or you're going to lose your fucking mind.
Okay, so is that why you called me? Is that what you're like, Tabby?
I need a lifeline. I need somebody to tell all the fucked up things in my head about.
Oh, sweet. I like telling fucked up things.
Yeah, and then let's record it and broadcast it to the world, because that's best medical advice I've received to date.
There you go. And it didn't even come from a doctor.
So let's bring up the leopard scarf in the room. Tabby is no longer broadcasting from a farm in Florida. It is 6 degrees. And where in the world is Tabby at today?
Tabby is in freaking off-grid Arizona, y'all. Oh my gosh. So I apologize. There is a humming noise in the background. It is literally my propane heater, y'all. It is my lifeline right now. I cannot get rid of it. I apologize. When we woke up this morning, it was 6 degrees outside.
She has a scarf on, a hat with a big ball on it, long sleeves, propane heater. And how did you get out there? Tell everybody happened, because they've been gone.
Right. Okay, guys. So what happened was when COVID hit, you know, everybody shut down, which was fine. And we started doing some family evaluations, right? We were happy where we were, but it was just too much. You know, my husband was working full-time in corporate world and sales. And as you know, that is a big roller coaster and it's a lot of stress. And we were tired of the rat race. So we had been talking about going off-grid for a while. Right, we did our research. We went up to Tennessee to check it out. No way in hell we were ever moving to Tennessee. Okay, just no way in hell. Like, it's too muddy, it's too wet. The land is like this, which is like a 70 degree angle. So basically, you can't go anywhere without sliding back down a freaking hill. Right? And we got stuck 4 times. The truck got stuck 4 times and had to get brand new tires. It was crazy. So we were like, that was out. Then we found a lot of property in Arizona. And at first we were like, no, that's too far. And we were very much like everybody else. When you think of Arizona, you think of desert.
Right.
And hot and nasty. Well, this place in Arizona, we're in the northern eastern side of Arizona. So like basically right next to New Mexico. And I'm up in the mountains. And it's not hot, because, hey, guys, guess what? It was 6 degrees this morning.
But you kind of get the extreme, right? It can get very hot, but it can get very cold. And then there's the in-between, too. Which, in the elevation, is good for your arthritis and everything else that you have going on, right?
Right, because there's no humidity out here. So what was happening was we came out here to visit. It was March before we moved, and what happened was we were climbing these mountains, doing all this walking, and Dion goes, do you realize you're walking up and down stairs, you're climbing mountains, and you haven't complained about your knees once?
Right.
And I was like, oh shit, he's right. So I was like, okay, that's good, still, you know, whatever. And you know, we bought the property and I still wasn't 100% sure we were gonna do this, right? And then we came back to Florida, and 5 minutes after getting off that plane, every joint in my body hurt.
Right.
And I was like, holy shit, this is more of a medical reason now than it is just like a lifestyle reason. Right. You know?
So it just made sense all around, right? Where it was like you wanted right. out of the hustle and bustle. And I will say, even before you guys bought property in DeLand, you were always looking at first of buying a sailboat or some type of boat and being able just to be unplugged from a dock and go as so you have always looked for this life of homesteading and in some form.
Right. Right, because we've always looked for that freedom. Right. That's what we're looking for is the freedom. And so Arizona, the property was extremely affordable. We got 40 acres for $30,000, which is freaking unheard right. of. It was raw land, guys, so nothing. We packed up our house in DeLand, our two houses in DeLand, including Pam's, sold some of the animals, took some of the animals with us, and we sold most of our shit and packed it all up in a semi and drove across the country. Like, just like that. We bought the property in March. We were in Arizona permanently by June 1st.
It was that's pretty how quick. Yeah, because your house, you sold your house in DeLand in the peak of the market. So that was able to close and all of that happened very quickly. You buy this piece of property and you go out with limited amount of stuff. To just land, because now you have an RV and that's it. There's no water on the property. There's no electricity. Nope. There's no, brace yourself, ladies. There's no Wi-Fi on the property. So you guys had to do all of that.
Correct. So what happened was, I know it's going to sound dorky, but, you know, we obviously watched Homestead Rescue, right? A lot. So we were like, all right, we get out there. Or actually, before we got out there, I was like, okay, we need solar. We need a well. We're going to need a generator in the meantime until those things get up and running. And we kind of just figured out everything that we need, what everything was going to cost. And so we literally just dived right in, did the budget. So we were able to afford those things when we got out here, right? So when we first got out here, we had to take an IBC tote, which are those big white totes that restaurants transport sodas or waters and drinks in, right? And so we took those and we'd have to drive like 30 minutes to the country store to go fill it up with water. And mind you, we moved in there in June, so it was the middle of summer. It was hot. We had pigs, so we'd have to fill that up, throw it on the pigs, cool them off, make sure they had water. We had to take that, fill up the RV so we could shower. It was so insane. I mean, it was just insane. So the day that well came in, we were like,
oh, what day was that? Or how many months into being there? You moved in June. How many months to get those big successes?
So not months, July.
Okay, not too bad.
We had it by July 4th because I remember we had the kids. We also had the kids with us. We had Mason and Lennox with us for the summer while we're moving in the middle. So get this. We had a 28-foot RV, okay? There was me, Dion, Pam, Mason, Lennox, and four and dogs in that RV. But most of the nights, Dion and I were sleeping out in the tent. Mm-hmm. So, because it was decent weather. So we were like, we're staying out here. We had the bed set up. We had a couch out there. And it was great until the winds came. And that kind of just moved it all out. So, but we had the well dug, which was great by then. We had the Connex for the extra storage because when we first moved there, like I said, there was nothing there. So when that semi showed up with all our shit, it got dumped in our middle of our yard.
Oh my God.
And I'm talking TVs, mirrors, rugs, kitchen stuff in boxes. All I had canned like 3 to 4 months in advance so we'd have food and not have to leave the property. All of that was left out there, got ruined. We had anything in your house was out there. Our clothes were out there in suitcases. And, you know, I can tell you there was this moment. Homesteading is fucking hard, especially in the beginning.
Right.
right? Like, it really tests your grit. Mm-hmm. It really tests you. I was standing in the middle of all our shit, trying to find clothes in the dark with a propane gas lit lantern, trying to find clothes. Everything's everywhere. And I just broke down.
Like, understandably, yeah.
I'm like, really, God? Is this what we're doing? Are we really? I am literally in the middle of fucking nowhere. I have no water. I have no electricity. My shit is everywhere. I'm like, this is what we're doing? I'm like, what the hell?
How do you regroup from that? Because that is, I mean, I understand that. And I've never been through anything like that. But even just the other day, I had a meltdown because my closet still isn't put up from 2 years ago. And I couldn't find my left boot. And I slammed my hand against the wall because I had enough. I probably would have set the entire pile on fire. Like, just had enough and set it on fire. Like, how do you regroup from that?
You have an amazing, supportive husband. So, in the beginning, everybody was supporting everybody. Mm-hmm. So, like, I broke down, they all came together. Dion broke down, we came together. Like, it really was like a family unit helping each other. And it got better little by little by little. And one of the biggest things it taught me is that it really makes you humble and appreciative of all the little things that you have, right? Like, when we got our buildings for our house, we were so fucking ecstatic. You would have thought we would have won the lottery. And we just bought 4 sheds. Right. That was it. We bought 4 sheds. We were like, woo! Oh my God. We're, you know? Right. And then when we got electricity in the house, when we got the solar set up, oh my God, the solar was like the biggest thing, because we were running everything off of a generator. The RV was being ran off a generator, which means lots of gas. Mm-hmm. And gas is expensive out here. More, and because we're so close to the West Coast, it's more expensive than a little bit on the East Coast, okay. Right? So we were spending $100 to $200 a week in just gas.
Right.
Right. And every penny has been accounted for, and we didn't account for that.
Yeah,
you know,
that makes sense. Right.
Right. Right. So when we bought the solar, so Dion and I dug the holes, sunk these big ass poles into the ground, and we hooked up our solar ourselves. And when we were able to turn it on, and it worked, and that RV lit up without the generator going brrrr, literally.
Yeah, they're so
all
loud.
They're so loud that it was just like, oh.
Yeah.
It was such a relief, and it was so exciting. We were like, we accomplished something really, really huge, mm-hmm. You know? So that was just incredible.
Can I tell you, I love the last few minutes of listening to this, or since you've been talking, because watching it from Facebook, we only see the successes, right? And as your friend, right. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, it's got to be fucking hard. She has had to have meltdowns and stuff. And good for you being able to keep it together. And I love what you talk about with your family, because the three of you don't really have a choice, right? Like, you...
Right.
It is just the three of you on this property, or at that time, the five of you plus dogs and all this stuff, where you can have your meltdowns, but you got to get your shit together because it's not changing. Mm-hmm. And this is also what you want. And you've looked at the big picture and every day is just, and it really is almost like simplifying it is to, I think Scarlett O'Hara said it in Gone with the Wind, like, I'll worry about that tomorrow. Don't have power today.
Right.
I'll worry about it tomorrow. And tomorrow eventually comes in your guys' case. It takes a little while, and it takes hard work.
Yeah, it does. So like I said, this morning, Dion had to unfreeze a hose, right? In 6-degree weather. It's not very easy, right?
Right.
So, you know, and we're learning a lot of things along the way too, right? So we know to empty our hoses at night. Right?
Yeah.
But on the one night that he forgets, it happens to be 6 degrees.
And I think that's what nature does to you, right? It will humble you quickly because we're not used to being in those elements.
Yes. Yes. And especially here. So like in Florida, you guys are used to not drinking a lot of water, mm-hmm. right? You're like, you have to force yourself to drink the water. And you don't really feel a side effect because of all the humidity in the water and everything. Out here, you don't drink water, you're going to pass out. It's so dry out here. When you first come to Arizona, so like when people come to visit, the first thing we make them do is drink 8 ounces of water with a hydration pack in it immediately. That's it. First thing you have to do, or you will suffer, you know, because your body is not accustomed right. to how dry it is out here. So you have to make sure you're staying hydrated. And we drink a lot of water out here.
I wouldn't make it. I'm so terrible with water still. Still haven't made it.
Oh, I will watch. You come out here, you're going to be drinking right. water. You're like, I'm so thirsty.
First of all, that movement, very funny. I'm very sad that very funny. Second of all, I already told Nate that I want to come out there sometime in like May. So he's looking at his calendar because okay. I think it sounds Yay! Amazing. I love the fact, I know like when we chatted last week, you were talking about like your top three biggest moments. And so you've already mm-hmm. said like the well, the solar.
Yep.
And then tell our audience about like your moment on the mountain that you had.
Okay. So the way that our property is set up, which is one of the reasons why I was like, this property is going to work. We have a very flat plateau at the top, and then there's a grade down, and then we have a bottom area. But on the top of the top, there's a cliff. And so we have all of these gorgeous rocks on there, and then you can go out there and you can sit and you can literally see for miles. And ladies, there is nothing out here. Okay. So you're going to see a house or two or a little, you know, set up, but you're not really seeing much of anything. And it is so gorgeous and peaceful that it's just like, oh, like there's nothing bothering me. There's no phone call. There's no TikTok. There's no Facebook. There's none of it. It's just gone. And then your body just melts with relaxation mm-hmm. and calmness. And it's amazing. And so Dion and I both, not together, but on our own times, we actually go out there and we pray. And we just like find the peace within, you know, make sure we're doing the right things and staying on path. And I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. Like the view is somewhere that you would travel to go see,
right.
like as a tourist mm-hmm. place, right? But that's our backyard. Like that's it. You just walk on out there,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. And I think that, you know, for me, what I felt like when just watching from Facebook, a big aha moment is I saw you guys post a picture mm-hmm. of like sitting outside by a fire. And mm-hmm. it said something like this made it worth it. And I understood that. And I get that. Like for me, the quiet and well, you know, that the best part of Nate and I visiting your home and the, what we liked about it. And I think we were probably your number one visitor, right? Like we had a frequent flyer
yeah,
thing
yeah.
because we like those moments, that quiet moment. You guys are board game people. You're domino people. Mm-hmm. You're by the fire people. And that looked like, okay, yeah, I get that. I get it. Like, right. those are the right. moments for me that re-energize me. And that's what it sounds like when you guys are going out on your property is it's re-energizing. And I don't mm-hmm. think people realize that space allows that to happen. Hard to do in the city. Hard to do
yes,
even out on in a town like DeLand, right? But when you are right. out in nature and then there's some ownership behind it too, that peace
right, like,
comes in.
Right, because like this is mine. It's like, yes, I have to come in and I have to do all this work. Like I have to feed and water the chickens and feed and take care of the pigs, collect the eggs. And, you know, we're doing all of these chores and different things that have to get done around here. But at the end of the day, you are filled with so much accomplishment, right? That when you're sitting beside that fire, that, mind you, by the way, you cut down the tree from mm-hmm. and chop the wood to put in that fire. in the fire pit that you built yourself, right? You're sitting there and you're like, I did this. Like, right. I did this. I didn't go to Walmart and buy a fire pit. I didn't go buy pre-cut wood. Like, I did this. And one of the things some people ask me is, why do you do it? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you know, I got a lot of mixed reactions when we finally told mm-hmm. people, right? And one of the reactions was, why? You have Walmart down the street. Why would you give up that convenience? And my answer was, is because I'm not happy.
Right.
Honestly, I don't want to be stuck in the city. I don't want to deal with 1,500 people around me to go buy some damn chicken.
Right.
Right? You know what I mean? And it's just, you know, work is work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? If you live in the city, you go to work or you stay home and you work and you put in your 40 hours, right? And you now have money to go buy the things that you want to do.
Right.
Or go get, right? Out here, you want a fire? You start that chainsaw, you go out and you cut down a freaking tree. It's still work.
Yeah.
Whichever way you look at it, work is work. And I would rather be doing work that I like to do than not. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? I like being out here. Not everybody likes doing this kind of stuff, right? And that's fine. That's why we have people that live in the city.
Right, yeah. You know? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but for me, work is work, and I love it. I mean, I had Dion buy me a little chainsaw. Still have yet to learn how to use it yet, but I've got a chainsaw because my goal eventually is to go out there, cut up all these trees, clean them up so they grow up. And mind you, when I say trees, you're going to be like, Tab, that's a bush. But out here, it's considered a tree because they're so short.
Well, I think the great thing is, too, is that you're going to now get to be able to take us all on this journey. Before, we were learning of the life on the farm, and this is a completely different direction. And it's a direction that most people don't know about. And there is a struggle in it, but there's also this peace and reward in it for the mental health side of it, of you know, your husband had such a high stress job, and this stress is different, but there's also a freedom mm-hmm. behind it, and how much freedom is releasing of those stresses. And where I think people would assume you would fight more now because of the difficulties of life, but I think that if I didn't have the job I did, I'd be more peaceful and calm and be able to have a less reactionary reaction to the things of mm-hmm. not being able to find my shoe. There was no reason for me to act like that. Valid reason for you to act like that, right? But so I think I'm excited to hear all about it.
And well, I'm excited to share it with everybody.
Especially because I know, like, maybe next week you could tell us how you carved up a freaking pig.
Yes, we need to put that down in the notes so I can tell you guys how we butchered our own pig on our own property, guys. This was not a taking it to the butcher like we did at the farm. Nope, we did this ourselves, and boy, do I have a story about that.
So have you ever seen anything like that, like the slaughtering of pig or processing meat or anything like that?
No, so when we, in Florida, when we went to the butcher one time, there was a loud bang, and of course it scared me, and I didn't connect the two, right? And then we went inside the butcher, and then I saw the pig laying there, and they were starting to take the skin off. And at that point, I was like, oh, okay, that's what they do. All right, not bad. I was like, I'll see you in 2 weeks for my pork, but you know what I mean? But, what we did, I had never seen before. I wasn't there for the killing part mm-hmm. of it. I walked away. That was like, I was like, nope. Now, after the killing part was done, I was fine. Right. That I was like, okay.
Well, I'm excited to hear your experience, because we've had some experiences doing it just because Ethan and Nate and Randy hunt. And so we've had to process a deer, and we've had to process a pig. Of course, they shot those things, but I wasn't there for that. But I've seen, like, the leg and them carving it off and then shoving the meat through the grinder and the bleeding mm-hmm. out. And so I'm excited to hear about how you guys did it all on your own.
Okay.
I want to jump into some current events. Mm-hmm. And this one, I just want your opinion on. I didn't send you any notes on this. And I'm just...
Damn,
I know,
Sabrina.
But it's just because...
I hate
you
that.
You don't watch the show. So I know you don't watch the show.
Okay.
And I just want to know what type of, like, where you are at friend-wise with something like this. And I called it fucked up or you go, girl. So on the Real Housewives of New Jersey, season something just premiered. It happens to be the number one highest rating episode for Real Housewives in 7 seasons. So a lot of people tuned in to watch this.
Okay.
At the very end of the show, and this is what my question is, one of the castmates says to another castmate, well, that's why your husband fucked his medical assistant and left his job. And so your life isn't as perfect. And I was expecting the other wife to say, you know, you liar, I can't believe you said that. And instead her mm-hmm. response was, it was a medical sales associate, you bitch, and how dare you. And everybody was kind of surprised because now she's admitting that her husband had this affair. So it ends right there, and I go on to the news to start reading it. And so the story is 10 years ago, before they were on mm-hmm. this show, her husband had an affair. She found out about it. They went to counseling. They chose to forgive mm-hmm. each other, and they've moved on. She comes onto okay. the show. She pisses somebody off. This lady has had this ammunition and waited. You could tell from the scene now, she waited for this moment to hit her with it. And now this okay. woman has to go back and tell her 17-year-old son that, yes, your father cheated on me. Tell her 15-year-old daughter, yes. She's got 5 kids of age that will hear mm-hmm. about this, that now gets to know that daddy isn't the hero you thought he is.
Right.
So my question to you are, do you engage in that type of fighting of, like, it doesn't matter at that point. I'm just going to spew facts or facts, right? It's not uh-huh. that it's not factual. Or
right.
time and place, where it's just, there's some things that just are below the belt.
So I'm going to say that, A, that's below the belt because this happened prior to the show. So the girl who said it to her pretty much had to go dig for that
right.
shit. Okay, so that shows her intent. That shows what happens. And honestly, I kind of would have handled it very similar like she did. Like, yeah, guess what? You're right. So what? That's my business, not
right.
yours. You know, and again, how dare you? My response would have been like, why are you so pathetic that you are digging into my shit?
Right.
Like, deal with your own. And I'd be like, and I'll pray for you because apparently you need it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's my opinion too, is that now I know of people that fight like this that will take information that they've had either through friendship or that they've in self-discovery and throw it out there in the heat
right.
of an argument and just say it's just the truth. And I can say that probably in my 20s, I probably fought that same way. Like, the truth, it's not,
mm-hmm.
you don't like to hear the fucking truth. Don't come to me. I'm a truth teller. But at what point do you start to realize that this is a marriage and this is a family? And how dare you bring something up that people have moved on by? And now you, and as especially as this woman being a mother, that you know you have to sit down and break these kids' hearts. That's
right.
the worst
I mean,
part of you could mess up that father-son relationship. You could mess up that father-daughter relationship. And for
mm-hmm.
what? As a couple, they've moved on past it.
Right, because she's petty and insecure, and she's not a truth teller.
Yeah.
She's a homewrecker. That's a homewrecker.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's someone who is looking to... Obviously, someone did something she didn't like, and she has ammunition, right? So she's going to use it against her. That's not being truth. If your intent in what you're saying is not coming from a place of love, you're not a truth teller. You're a fucking destroyer.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't like it. I'm excited
it's
to see
like,
how it all goes by, because this is my other concern now, right, is that the nice doctor's name has been tainted, and... What kind of, for me, as like, I could imagine husband and wife going home, and now this sparks up a fight of repressed feelings for her, whether or not she believes she'd move past it, and where he's upset that now it's coming out and he has to defend his character over something that had been forgiven and moved on. Like, this could right. mess up their marriage of 18 years. Like, ugh.
Right. But I don't worry about their marriage so much. And the reason why is because if their marriage wasn't going to survive the infidelity in the beginning, it wasn't going to survive this.
Yeah, great point.
This isn't the initial act. This is just a reminder. And this is where the family has to come together again. The husband and the wife need to rekindle, make sure that everything's good. And this is actually good for the kids as well. The dad needs to sit down with the son and the daughter and say, look, this is what I did. I was wrong. And you shouldn't accept that kind of behavior from your own partner.
Right.
Right? Instead of having this fairy tale image when it's not true, because then they're going out thinking, oh, I'm going to have this fairy tale marriage. And then when it gets hard, they don't know how to deal with it. This is a really great life lesson for those kids. And I'm assuming those children are teens and above. Right.
Well, one was 9 years old and saw it on TikTok. And so then they did have to sit down the 9-year-old and tell her that, you know, it was actually true. But again, that when you love somebody, forgiveness is a thing. And that's the way Correct. That they explained it to them is, yes, this happened. Yes, it was a bad action of his. However, I love your father and we have forgiven each other and moved on. And I'm asking...
And it has never happened again.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Right. Because to a 9-year-old, and I don't know, was the 9-year-old girl. A girl or a boy? Okay. You have to be very clear about that, because that sets the image for a 9-year-old that, okay, I love my husband in the future and he cheats on me, that it's okay. But the clear distinction in this particular situation is that it never happened again.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Right.
I agree. See, that wasn't so bad.
No, that wasn't terrible. Apparently, living off-grid has done me some good.
I know. See? That's what I'm excited. You know, we were talking before. Like, I'm not going to make Tabby watch all this trash TV I watch, but I'm just going to bring things to the table to her, explain the situation, and get her opinion on it.
Thank
you're you. You're welcome. So let's talk about the next thing, which is Joe Rogan and Spotify. That if you have heard the news, is that what is his name? Neil Young had made a statement that if Joe Rogan's podcast was not removed because Joe Rogan had two medical professionals on his podcast and correct me if I'm wrong, but they are anti-vaxxers or just don't believe it's necessary for everyone, the two doctors.
So I didn't get a chance to watch the actual episode. So I got some clips on what happened. So I have an overall view.
Yeah, I think that the overall view was just, and I know that Rogan's overall view is that if you are a healthy person, the vaccine is not necessary for everyone. And so then correct. Neil Young says, remove his stuff, or you have to take down my stuff, and gave Spotify a deadline. Now, if for people that don't know, Joe Rogan is on Spotify and only on Spotify because Spotify gave him a contract for $100 million. That is how much Spotify was willing to invest into a man because they know that they can make more money from Rogan of $100 million.
Yup.
Name one Neil Young song.
Fuck if I know.
Exactly. I was listening to another podcast the other day and they were like, oh my God, not Sweet Caroline. And they were like, that's Neil Diamond. And then they were like, all right, well, fuck off. Bye, Neil Young.
Right.
Yeah. Who
exactly
who cares? Like, so my opinion is, and this is what I want to make clear, is we're not going to battle anti-vax, vax, whatever. That's not what we're talking about here. What I'm talking about is that the fact that a celebrity or musician at any level would think that they have the right to now censor somebody's podcast or general opinion.
Right, or try to entice a platform into censoring someone because they don't agree with their views.
Right.
Right. Because that's what Neil Young is trying to do. He's trying, and Joni Mitchell.
Yeah, I saw that.
She hopped on that fucking bandwagon too. Apparently she's not making enough money, but whatever. I mean, how dare you? Like, how dare you try to inject yourself into someone's business, Spotify's livelihood, because you don't like what one of their people are saying? Well, guess what? Take your shit, take your own platform, and go spread your other message somewhere else. Right? That's commerce right there, baby. That's it. It is a free country. You are free to do that. You are free to express your opinions. You are not allowed to stifle someone else's opinion.
Right. Silence it so that we're only hearing one side. Since when are we a country that supports anything like that?
Well, if you ask me, it's been about 20-something years. But I'm not, you know.
I think it's,
that's,
you know,
a whole nother conversation.
It's getting worse and worse over time. So I hear this about Neil Young, and I find it laughable, and I don't even pay attention. And then my two least favorite people in the world jump on board. What is her stupid name? Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, who, again, have signed a contract with Spotify for a measly $25 million, by the way. Measly, compared to Joe Rogan's contract. And they have the nerve to then say that through a publicist, that they hope that Spotify would shut down people that are spreading false information about a deadly disease, and that their values don't align with Markle and Prince Harry, and they look forward to Spotify doing something. So again, trying to leverage their popularity against Joe Rogan.
So my question is, A, what popularity? You got kicked out of the family, okay? You got kicked out of the royal family.
Right.
No matter which way you set it up, you freaking left. You got kicked out, okay? $25 million, Spotify is going to tell you to eat a fucking dick.
Exactly.
Sorry. You're not worth shit. You have no status. You have no clout. You have nothing about this. And yet you're trying to tell them to censor someone. So Meghan and Harry can shut the hell up because they're part of the New World Order and their shit's coming for them. However, I digress.
I think the worst part is they I don't know if they got kicked out or not, but what I do know is that they chose to move here to America because they did not like the rules and guidelines set underneath the royal family.
Wait, they didn't like censorship?
Right, and now you want to come here and try to censor us as America? Go back to England. Go and talk about your queen and have the nerve to say anything about her and see how that goes over. You came here.
Right. I am so tired of the hypocrisy.
Right.
And speaking of hypocrisy, because everyone's like, he's spreading false and dangerous information. A, he's not, because a podcast is your opinion.
Right.
Okay? Just like our podcast is our fucking opinion.
Right.
Okay? You want to talk about false information? Let's talk about Joe Biden and Dr. Fauci, who went on fucking national TV and told everybody that if you wear masks, you're not going to get COVID. If you get the vaccine, you're not going to get COVID, which we all now know is fake. So who is spreading false information? And you know Dr. Fauci knew that shit when he said it.
And
so where's his legal recourse?
Right, and the difference being is, again, I don't believe that it was done deliberately, so I think we differ there. But what I do think is that as it all progressed, they started giving out their opinions and these recommendations and mandates, not even recommendations, these mandatory guidelines that then they go back and say, oops, not exactly correct. Oops, not exactly correct.
Oh, CDC is taking down the numbers. And oops, not as many died.
Meanwhile, they are putting it on broadcasting networks, not podcasts, that are supposed to be factual so that we can rely on the information you're giving. Now we all know the media, and we all should have known this for decades, that media is biased and only tells you what the core audience and what people want you to hear. At least in a podcast, you can go in knowing this is opinion. And you can make your opinion rather than broadcasters broadcasting it as factual and then it end up being an opinion or a best guesstimate.
Right. Right now in today's age, I trust the podcast before I'll ever turn on that fucking news.
100%. I believe you 100% because at least I feel like it's giving me a space to make my own opinions.
Own opinion. And that's on both sides. Like, I don't like Fox News either.
No.
Like, no. Fucking rhinos.
No. I'll tell you, the only thing I watch is my local news, and that's just to make sure there's not a murderer in my neighborhood at this point. Very close.
Right.
Very close to it, but not too far. And Page Six, because it's filth and trash. But my Fox News app, I just deleted it. Like, I don't... Yeah. I will get the news that I want to get at this point, because I'm not going to drive myself bananas over people just fighting.
Exactly. And that's really what's happening. And I mean, and that's part of the reason why we moved. Like, Dion and I, we don't turn the TV on.
Right.
Ever. We don't miss it. We're like, oh, this is great. And it's so freeing because, and this, even before I met Dion, I never got into the news. Hated the news. And I was like, how do you people watch this? Oh, so we know what's going on. I was like, you don't know what's going on? I said, all you're hearing is this negative, bad, scary shit.
Right.
Like, we live in the safest time, but you would think that we are always at the brink of war. We're always in destruction. Like, the world is going to collapse. We're all fucking crying Chicken Little because we can't stop watching this damn news.
Right.
That's lying to you.
Right. That's scaring you.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, it's just insane. It's just insane. I don't know if anybody over the last week has gone to play a Neil Young song off of Spotify and been like, oh, man, I can't believe it's gone. No, go pull out your freaking record player because that's the last time
get your vinyl.
He was relevant.
And Joni Mitchell, I'm sorry. You know what? She can suck a dick. And maybe if she did, her music wouldn't be so fucking depressing.
Not just that, but I also looked up their music. And the fact that both of them came up through the 70s when it was an anti-war climate, right? When they were fighting against the people, when they were trying to be heard. And now you want to shut people down?
Mm-hmm.
Now that you have a stick up your butt and you only like to see things one way, now... You care? Neil Young came out with a song called, F the President or something like that, back when President Bush was. Well, that was when the war started, everybody kind of turned on him. But before then, everybody really liked him. What if they would have shut him down? He felt the need and the right in this beautiful country we live in to be able to make a statement like that. Go make a statement like that in another country about their president. See what happens.
See what the hell happens. Exactly. I mean, it's just fucking ridiculous. And I find that a lot of that generation is very much all about the censorship.
Which is funny. Because
it makes them feel good.
They didn't grow up in that kind of time, right? Like, when you look at the music from the 70s and the culture of the 70s, it was a burn your bra, fight the power kind of life.
Right.
And how quickly you forget that.
Correct. But the other part is they were also the victim.
Yeah.
They were always the victim. They were fighting for their rights, but they were the victim. And they have been, and look, I'm telling you this is my personal opinion, and I don't care what anybody says, but the fucking TV is the devil, and your phone is the devil, because it's spewing shit into you, shit you're not supposed to be having, the endorphins that get released, you're getting brainwashed, and you don't even fucking know.
Do you want to hear this crazy opinion that Nate told me yesterday, that Andrew Schultz, you know I love Andrew Schultz, Brilliant Idiots 2 podcast. He was talking about TikTok and what China is doing to America, and that... The Chinese version of TikTok for their young generation is all factual, medical, teaching them things in these 15-minute clips. Meanwhile, the way that our algorithms are set up here in the United States is we're teaching our young generation stupid freaking dances. This WAP song, this experiment with the water bottle that makes zero sense, or eat this sour candy. They are literally dumbing us down through an app. Well,
yes, and we are
watched 24/7.
And that's and I agree with you, but we're also allowing that to happen as parents. We're not taking that phone away. We're not saying, no, you're not doing this. You know, it's absolutely insane. Look, we are not the kids' friends. We are their parents. And you have to be strict and you have to protect them from this shit. You know, there's a reason why in China the kids aren't watching that. Because they know.
Right.
They're not stupid. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, I get frustrated because, like, I think there was even an article, like, Bill Gates and Steve Jobs' children were not allowed to have a phone until they were, like, 16 years old. And when they did, it was only, like, for an hour a day. Like, they weren't allowed to be in the technology that they created, which tells you something about the fucking technology, right? It's not good for you.
Yeah, I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, Facebook can tell what you're liking by the way that you're swiping your phone. And as you're sitting here doing this over and over and over, you are mind-numbed. You don't know what you're intaking. You're not having a conscious thought about it. Because what do you get on Facebook for? You're like, oh, I had such a long day. I just need a veg and relax. So you go in and then you get all of these subliminal messages and you don't realize what's happening to you. And you're like, oh, it's no big deal. And then you give it to your kids.
Right. And then it's just feeding you the same stories, the same article. The moment you click on something, it starts to feed you only like items. And so then you only see one source and you only see one side.
Right. Right. And then whatever, like, if Nate is looking for something and he's searching and researching something on his phone, let's say blue paint for the bathroom, right? You're going to start getting ads for blue paint. And you're not going to know why unless you and Nate have been talking. And you're like, because they scan the phones around you to see what they're researching. And then they're sending those messages to you. So that way you will end up possibly getting him what he wants.
So do you think that he sees all my Google searches for threesomes on Pornhub?
He could. He might like it. I don't know what you're talking
He's
about.
Like, Jesus, what does she have in mind?
Right? Like, woo!
Question, did you know, speaking of Pornhub and threesomes, did you know that a pineapple has a meaning? You did know. I could tell by your face.
No, I'm looking at you because there's a lot of different ways you can use a pineapple, and so I'm a little curious.
Is that it's supposed to be a symbol for a swinger couple?
No, I did not know that. I knew it was a symbol of hospitality.
No, so we were told, because Nate wants to get a tattoo, one of our favorite family shows is Psych. And if anybody watches Psych, they know that every episode there is a pineapple somehow in the episode. Sometimes it's multiple times. And so Nate wants to get a new tattoo and he wants it to be a pineapple. And I think it was Jamie or even our son that said, you know what that means, right? And we both of us were like, no. And he was like, that is a symbol. Like when people go to banquets and stuff, if you see a pineapple on the table or on a hotel door or on a cruise, that they are open to swinging.
And how does Ethan know this?
I don't know.
First is my question. Okay? Because there's not like some swinger site that says, hey, every time you see a pineapple, that means we're open to play. No. I don't know. Do you know how many times I see a fucking symbol? TJ, you're telling me TJ Maxx is open to swinging? How many fucking times have you gone in there and seen a pineapple?
But only the people that are buying it are pineapple swinger lovers.
No.
I don't know. This is new. So now I'm wondering if my husband gets a tattoo of a pineapple, does it now leave me open to men coming up and being like, oh, really? You guys are into that? And I'm like, you better be prepared, Nate. What's your answer?
All right. Really, the question is, what's your answer?
I don't share well with others, ever.
Not even men?
No. Well, first of all, that's a lot of work. Let me just make sure my kids are home. No way am I doing the work. Listen, I put in the work.
Oh.
I'm not doing it for two people.
Oh, see, I don't. I'm a pillow princess, so they'd be doing the work on me, and I'm like, hey.
If I was more likely to do it, it would be two girls, one guy. Problem being is I would not want to see my husband have sex with anybody else. It would bother me.
Exactly. Well, because see, like, when I think of two guys and a girl, I don't really think of the girl having sex with someone. It's more like to her. But, like, two girls and a guy, like, oh, no, there's no way in hell two girls. I'd cut the bitch in the middle of the act. Like,
yeah, that's just not going to happen. We're not doing that. Feel free to go down on me, but don't touch my man.
Right.
And I'm fine in my mind. So we thought about this, too. This is how long we've been locked up. Is, have you ever been to a sex club? Mm-hmm. I was asking Nate, like, would he be down to go to a sex club? And he said yes. And then the next question was, because I'd be curious too, right? Like, you and I, we've been to strip clubs. I don't mind it.
Right.
They're a great time. But if you go to a club, are you then, and this is what I was asking my husband, are you then down to have sex with me out in the open?
So what, right. So when you would definitely want to make sure you guys have your guidelines.
Yeah.
Prior to walking into the place. I would like to go to one just as an observer. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds weird, but, like, you know, you see all the BDSM and all of that kind of stuff, right, on porn and stuff. And I'm like, I'd always like to go and just sit and watch with you, go home, and then fuck you. That's right. It. That's all I want to do. That's my level. I'm not a out-in-the-open kind of sex person. I'm not around the other people having sex. I don't want them coming up to you. You know, that's like, I like strip clubs, but that's part of the other reason. I don't like women coming up to my husband wanting to do that, right? And, like, that's, like, not my thing. So, I would be like, let's go in, let's go watch, gonna get really turned on, and then we're gonna go home and do it.
Right, that was the questions that I had too. Is like, let's get an understanding, because at some point, if you're into it, you're going to be turned on. Do you move forward in that action, or do you go home? And that those guidelines have to be set prior to.
Yeah.
Now, exactly. Just because go ahead.
And you also have to make sure, because sometimes, like, and I've just heard this, like, if you go into someone's home for, like, a sex party, right, they have certain rules, right? Like, you're in, everything's game.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, there's rules. And then there's other ones that have certain rules. And you're like, no, these people stay here and these stay here. And, like, all of that sort of stuff. So you have to know what you're getting yourself into before you just jump in.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me just...
Literally.
Now that I'm thinking about it, the disclaimer is I am not a swinger and we are not going to a sex club, so nobody throw their dick in this direction. Is not happening.
Pretty much.
Or their vagina.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that these are the conversations that we've been having since we've been locked up together for 2 years.
Well, I'm not worried because nobody's going to be able to find us to throw their dick at us, so I'm okay.
That's funny. So.
Oh, goodness.
My next question for you, because we're going to be wrapping up here soon, is that I have just a couple off-the-wall questions that I want to ask. The first one is, let's start with a fun one. Have you ever had an Antonio Brown moment? And for people that don't know, Antonio Brown used to play for the Tampa Buccaneers. The last game of the Buccaneers that he played for, or the last game he played with the Buccaneers, he quit mid-game. He took off his jersey, threw it into the stands, I think gave a big FU, and walked out. So my question to you is, have you ever had that I quit mid-shift, fuck you, I'm done moment?
The last 6 months to a year was my entire life of saying, fuck you, okay? I pretty much said, fuck you to, pretty much to society. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm done playing this bullshit game. We're out. Peace out, motherfuckers. Gotta go. Right?
I agree. You absolutely did.
Yeah. How about you? Did you do one?
I've never quit a job mid-shift. As much as I've been frustrated enough and gone, I wish I had. I mean, it sounds amazing. The only places where I can say that I've really ever had these moments are maybe in relationships with people, where I've come to a point in my life where I'm not doing it anymore. I'm done. F this. I'm out. And I can detach that quickly. I'm out. I'm not doing this. Yeah. And that goes even my poor mother, right? I haven't spoken to her in 3 years. I'm okay.
Right. And I don't think you do it easily. Let's clarify that, because I think you're like me. When you get to that limit, you will tolerate, warn. And then when that line is hit, you're like, fuck it. There is a brick wall. You're on the other side. Get the fuck out of here, because you don't want to see what comes your way. Right?
Yeah, you're right. And I don't do it without emotion, where I can say it very easily here. But like I've told you, where I've broken down and I've cried in front of you about different relationships where it doesn't mean that it's not felt with sadness, but it's still felt with like, fuck it, I'm out. I can't do it.
Right. Exactly. And I've been there too. Like the person who was my bridesmaid at my wedding, I no longer speak to her anymore.
Right.
Yeah. It was just like done.
Sometimes in life you just have to do it to protect yourself. And so I think even for Antonio Brown, where people looked at him and was like, he's crazy, where I heard Charlemagne the God say, why are people assuming that he isn't getting medical advice, that he isn't seeking therapy? And this is something that his therapist recommended, that having boundaries and walking away is perfectly okay.
Right, because they don't see that part, right? Because they don't see what is happening in the locker room.
Right.
Okay, nobody knows about what's being said to him. Nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows about the potential emotional and verbal abuse that could be going on with him, right? And he's done. He's like, fuck this. I'm done. I'm not risking my body and physical harm for people to make fucking millions of dollars. He's like, fuck this. I'm done.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
And I don't blame him. He has a self-preservation. And, you know, I think that's one of the things we've lost in this country, is that when people stand up, they get criticized for it. They're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Get back in line, right? And it's ridiculous. It's like, stop being a fucking sheep. Let the man stand up and do what's right for him. It's none of your fucking business.
Well, if not, if you don't fall in line now, especially now, you're assigned a title. You're crazy. You're this. You're unsafe.
Racist.
Yeah, you're racist. You're this. You're that. You are immediately assigned a title that makes you the bad guy for just having a reaction to something that could be a healthy reaction of a boundary.
Or an opinion.
Yeah, or an opinion.
Or an opinion. Right.
Yeah.
You know, I saw this thing on TikTok and not TikTok, but Facebook. It was a meme and it basically said that if you are okay with, because what is Ruby Ridge, the book about Ruby Ridge is now being banned from schools because we don't want to teach our children that, but you're okay with them being on TikTok, there's something severely wrong.
Is that the mouse book?
Because no, that's the Ruby Ridge was the one about the, she's, oh my gosh, someone's going to have to remind me, but it's, she was a black girl.
Okay.
That got thrown stones at back in the 50s. And there's a book about it. And now they don't want our kids reading about that particular part of history. But we're okay watching, letting them watch sex on TikTok and all kinds of crazy, inappropriate things. And it's like, come on, guys. I mean, it's history.
Right.
If we don't want that to be repeated in any sort of facet or any sort of variation, we have to educate people.
Right. Well, so I wonder what the book name is, because I saw recently that they pulled from some schools To Kill a Mockingbird and this book, Mouse, which is about the Holocaust. And
okay.
The opinion, and you know, Kill a Mockingbird is the N-word is used a lot. It's a difficult time. However, and same thing, Holocaust, terrible time. 6 million Jewish people died. However, it is history, and we have to be able to read those things, even if it's difficult, even if it's hard right. to hear, and be able to learn from it, rather than just, let's just pull it all out, and so then we don't read anything. Then our kids are reading, what, Game of Thrones?
Exactly, and then they're not learning anything. Right. And then the exact same people who did the Holocaust will be afforded the pathway to repeat itself.
Right, because it's forgotten.
Because it's forgotten. Nobody, can you tell me anything about World War One?
No, uh-uh.
Because you and I, when we went through school, it was all World War Two. Right. World War Two, Hitler, Jews, Holocaust. Bam, 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 bam. That was pounded into our head. We don't talk about Stalin.
Right. Well, so
we don't talk about how many people died under Stalin right. and how they died under Stalin.
Yeah, great point, because I'll say that my kids don't realize, they're not informed about World War II, where I watched Pearl Harbor with Lorelai and then had to go mm-hmm. back into, well, this is how it started and this is why it all, but they were raised and born after 9/11. And that's who they right. realized the bad guys were. And that's who they think bad guys are Arabs and anybody with the Taliban or anything like that. That is the war that they've been educated on. And so it's easy to erase everything else.
Right. And there's probably a holy shit. Oh, I'm so sorry.
A rabbit just ran through.
Yes, that's Panda. Sorry. We're not cutting this out, by
no.
the way.
Oh my gosh,
guys. So that's Panda. And what had just happened was Panda snuck out of her cage 2 days ago in the house, and we've been sleeping in the RV. So I haven't been able to catch her to get her back in the cage. And the only way I knew she was here was because every time that I came in here, there was more poop. And so there she is. She's just like running by, like, wow. And I was like, holy crap, this guy.
I have a friend that currently Ooh. Has a few hamsters missing in their house because they said that Uh-oh. Hamsters are really kind of squirrely. And when the kids hold them, yeah. they just jump out. And they live in like a 2,500 square. No, it's bigger than my house. So it's probably at least a 3,000 square foot home. And
right.
they're just running amok. And she says she knows they're still there because she'll find little droppings. But she like constantly mm-hmm. checks her pit bull's poop too, because God forbid he might possibly eat one. So
he probably will.
You just had it, but on a monster size. The bunny just went darting past you all of a sudden.
Right. You saw it, right?
I did.
On the camera.
Yeah, I saw it.
And I was like, what the
She's behind that bulletin board right now.
Yeah, she is. That's one of her spots. So
let me ask
I'll have to try to get her.
My final question before the panda gives us all, not the panda, the bunny known as Panda. Gives us all a heart attack. What would you tell your 23-year-old self?
Okay. So what I would tell my 23-year-old self would be, it's to get out of debt sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Live a much simpler life. Panda, what the fuck? she runs everywhere. Sorry. Is that live a simpler life, right? Buy the smaller house,
mm-hmm.
right? Keep your TVs for 10 to 20 years, even if they are outdated. Because in the end, it does the exact same thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? And really, really get yourself out of debt sooner. I would tell me to get homesteading sooner because of the freedom. But that's what I tell my 23-year-old self because, you know, had I stayed on a simpler path and not tried to keep up with the Joneses or go all these places, I would have been out of debt 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it would have provided so much more freedom. Like, we work until you're 65, paying off house, college, cars, kids, like all of this stuff. And then when you go and you retire, you're supposed to go live your life, but there's no money left. and there's no time and there's no energy, right? And God forbid if you get sick. And why not do that when you're 30? Why not spend 10 years getting your shit set up, paid off, and you don't owe anybody anything, you know? That's what I would tell myself, because then you have another 60 years, hopefully, or, you know, 50 years to do whatever you want.
I think for me, so 23, at my 23-year-old self, is, I would say, the best is yet to come. Nate and I were talking about it yesterday. The first, I'm now almost 42, so basically half my life, right, if we cut this down the middle, was better than the first 20 years of my life. Like those,
right.
And how much I've had to unlearn from those first 20 years, and that the people that I started to surround myself at 23, 24, which would include, you know, of course my son's always been there, but Nate and Randy and Krista and these people that just became my family and there for me at a time where at 23 and 24, I was going through my first divorce, and it was disgusting. The way that not just they behaved, the other people involved, but even the way that I behaved, of it just, it's so worth it. I would live this life exactly the same way and just tell that 23 and 24-year-old girl that it gets so much better. So much better.
It
does. And it's so great. And you made the right choices. Maybe make a little better decisions on how you get to those choices, though.
Right, right. I think it has a lot to do with, like, the relationships, right? And the people you're surrounding yourself and your own self-confidence. And that, unfortunately, comes with time, right? You had to go through those hard times, right? And those crazy moments, and having those moments of the irrational, I don't want to say irrational, because I know they weren't irrational, but emotional outbursts and all of that sort of stuff for you to get to where you are, right? Because until you experience that low, you can't appreciate that high.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I agree.
And you just have to be smart about it, right? Like, don't get yourself in too much trouble, you know?
Don't get yourself in too much trouble that you need any legal advice.
Exactly. Or mama to bail you out. Because in our family, you only get one bailout, and after that, you're on your own, kid.
Most of my bailout situations, I've had for my family anyhow. So I'm good there. I think I'm still get one get out of jail free card from them.
Oh, good.
But yeah, I think it's amazing to think that the last 20 years, I've now lived in Florida. It'll be 20 years in March. Best decision I ever made to break off from my family, as hard as it was to be down here by myself and to find a life on my own and to find a sense of peace. Still a fucking work in progress at this point, right? Still actively in therapy saying, what is wrong with me? But if you look at the first 20 years of my life, and there's no reason why I shouldn't have been broken, and no reason why I would have to go through these things to get to where I am now, and how happy I am. Like, I made the right choice with my husband. What an amazing man. And I think for me, like, the last 2 years, it's made that decision even clearer to me of, he was the right person for me, that we could go through this, and we are now locked in a house. He is still working from home, ladies and gentlemen. And
how is that going?
It actually is good. Like, yesterday I hugged and kissed him in the kitchen, and I said, I hadn't seen you all day. Like, you ate by yourself. So some days we don't see each other, but I know that when he finally goes back to work, I'm going to miss him like crazy.
Because you're just used to him being there.
Yeah, I'm used to him being here. And I think that if you weren't married to the right person pre-pandemic, you fucking figured it out.
Oh, yeah. Or you killed each other, one of the
right.
two.
Right. Or you learned to roll up your sleeves and you were going to duke it out because you didn't have any other choice. The bars weren't open. The places weren't. You had nowhere to hide. And you had to roll it up in your sleeve, just like you and Dion have done out there on your homestead. You had no other choice.
Right. And but our relationship's much different. So like since we have been together, we've always worked at home, both of us.
Yeah.
Like we work at home together. And so we know what it, there have been less times, I can count on one hand how many times we've been apart.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like there, cause he doesn't go off to work very often, right? Cause he was in sales and he works at home very much like you. And then I was a stay at home wife. And so I was there and that's just, that was how we set up our relationship and it worked. So when the pandemic hit, there was no, oh my God, my husband's annoying me.
Right.
Get him the hell away. Right. There was none of that. Like we already established our relationship like it was a pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. So I think that this was all really good. I'm so excited that we're back in this and we've done it. And,
yay!
And you know, just a little bit of changes where we're trying to shorten up the episodes a little bit and stay on track.
Because
you know, the two of us can talk forever.
Oh, we sure can.
And there's
can.
So many things to talk about. The conversation can go in whichever direction. So pat on the back to the both of us for...
I mean, we only went a little off with pineapples.
Yeah,
that's
just
okay.
A little bit. But, you know, what can you expect from the two of us? So this is it, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a safe space. It is not factual. We're not broadcasters. We're two girls that just, we have our freaking opinions. And you can take them or you can leave them and you can not listen.
Yep.
And that is completely up to you. It's not a safe space.
Exactly.
But it is a safe space for you and I to rant because it's our space.
Exactly. Because this is us, nobody else. And you'll have anything nice, you don't like it, that's fine. Don't listen. You want to make a nasty comment on Facebook? You go right the hell ahead and see what
Please
happens.
Please do. Give me something to laugh
do.
About.
Oh, yes. But anyways, we have missed you guys. I cannot wait to hear your guys' reactions when you listen to this for the first time, and we love you guys so much.
Yes, thank you, everybody. We're excited to be back. We're excited for all the upcoming episodes. We want your opinions. We want, as much as we'll take or leave them, we want to hear them. Both of us are open to hearing it, so please, you know, contact us on Facebook, text us, however you get a hold of us. I miss hearing people's opinions about it.
Ooh, and wait, who's, is it Charlene?
Charlene?
Charlene, I am looking forward to Charlene correcting our verbiage.
Oh, yeah. You know that she will. Let's just say congratulations to Charlene, my sister who graduated from nursing school and will be starting her career as a nurse in the next couple weeks. We're super proud
Yay!
Of her.
Yay!
I know.
Congratulations!
And remember, it's between her and Dion as our number one biggest fan, so let's see if they could keep that up.
Oh, let's see which one's going to be the biggest
fan.
All
right, let's wrap it up, Tabby. How do you say goodbye?
All right, guys. As always, thank you so much for listening. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, please give us a shout out on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, but not really TikTok because I don't think we're on there anymore. But I hope you guys have a great day, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye.
Goodbye.